more likely to be hit by a car if you live in the highest poverty regions of the city. The city has a stated goal to reduce traffic fatalities to zero, and we have to invest to make that a reality. We're supportive of a progressive structure for this fee so that those that are disproportionately impacted by the current system are not burdened by also fixing what hasn't served them. Oregon Walks, along with a coalition of other transportation, health, and social justice organizations, would like to see this proposal to be even more progressive and, like Commissioner Fritz said, not dedicate any less towards safety than what's already being put on the table. We're excited about the opportunity the city has to meaningfully invest in safe routes to school, improvements on our high crash corridors, and to prioritize investments in East Portland that has long been neglected. We urge the council to act now and ensure that funding for our streets happens and that we significantly invest in maintaining our system and that our city's most vulnerable residents are not further burdened. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Actually, you mentioned something that we probably should have noted up front just for those that haven't followed it. You understand the structure, but we actually get transportation revenue now, of course. Mm-hmm. It's what pays for what we do today, and it comes from gas taxes at the state and federal level and from vehicle registration fees at the state level. And all of those mechanisms are entirely regressive. Mm-hmm. None of them has any progressive element at all. You pay the same vehicle registration fee, you know, no matter what your income is, and you pay the same right price at the pump, including your buried gas tax amount that no one actually knows is there, no matter what your income is. So this would be the first time that there was ever any progressive element to the rest of the system either.
Exactly.
So I think sometimes people fail to remember that the system that we have is entirely regressive.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please.
Hi, I'm Bob Clark. I'm a Southeast Portland resident, and I'm volunteer for the Taxpayer Association of Oregon. The Taxpayer Association of Oregon is opposed to both of these tax ordinances. We believe the voters should be given the or bestowed the right to vote on such new taxes as a matter of policy. The list of good public intentions is unlimited. However, each citizens' personal finances are most usually limited. Citizens should have the right to balance their finances and their dreams and their plans, financial plans, against the request for more funds for the community. That's what a community does, is it balances these two things. Income is not a complete measure of one's finances, just as the city's revenues are not a complete picture of its finances. Our proposal is to stay with the existing mechanisms we have. The November 4th election was very important because on this issue, because now you have almost a supermajority in both chambers of the Oregon legislature. That means we're most likely to get a significant gasoline tax increase, if not a diesel increase, and as well as the vehicle registration. And also, since the springtime and since earlier in this year, we've had a 25% decrease in the price of gasoline and diesel. And I think that's going to stick because the oil technology is going global. It's so far been national, but it's going to go global. And this is going to increase, that should result in actually more driving and more gasoline sales with the lower price of gasoline. So that's a bit more gasoline tax revenue. And this also lowers the cost of asphalt and oil. I know the California Department of Transportation has lowered its reimbursements for road construction and repair for that. And also inflation is lower, and this should improve ultimately the city's finances too. So I guess we're kind of partial to the gasoline tax, and that's a user-free fee, and if you use the roads, you're probably generating some value, and therefore, your value should correspond to some increased benefit to the road usage.
Mr. Clark, can I ask you about your proposal?
Yes.
You've been very faithful to the mayor's request that you put something on the table. So the truth is that Speaker Kotek only has 35 votes in the House.
Right, so but it's really close.
I understand, but it's really close, but she needs 36 to do what you're suggesting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume she finds a Republican to join her caucus in raising the gas tax, as the Taxpayers Association of Oregon is urging. What do you think it should be raised to?
Well, the last one was a 6-cent increase, And we heard from Robert McCullough today that he thinks 9 cents, but that was at the city level too. So I guess that's
Do you have a thought about what the statewide increase should be?
Should be. A 6 cent, I think, will get us $8 million extra here at PBOT, maybe.
Locally.
Yeah.
So that was my second.
Then if the increased driving habits occur, which they did in the early 80s, even though we were increasing fuel standards, we should get another $2 or $3 million out of that. And then the reduced asphalt and oil prices costs for the city and repairing stuff, that might be more than another $2 or $3 million. So we're getting towards that $15 million figure that McCullough was talking about.
And there's also the potential for taking that money and bonding it, so you could have some front-loaded money.
Right.
Do you, if the legislature is unable to muster the votes to raise the gas tax, do you have a philosophical objection to the city of Portland considering a local option?
Oh, for property taxes?
No, for gas.
For gas tax. If the legislature can't act, do you have a philosophical objection to locally us raising?
Well, I can't talk on this point to the Taxpayer Association.
I'm asking because you're the person who often comes
to us. Yes. I don't have a philosophical objection to that, but I got to tell you that I do most of my filling up gasoline outside the city limits because I often am out at a different location. So
right. We don't actually have a city gas tax now, so for whatever reason.
Oh, it's a county gasoline tax. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But
yeah.
I'm just curious because there are some people who don't like that tax, just like there are some people who don't like a vehicle registration fee.
I'm not that opposed to it, actually, personally. And I know the Taxpayer Association is against most all taxes because...
Bob, I have to ask you. I have to, because the image is ripe in my head. So if that's what the mayor were to propose, would you don your raincoat and join him?
No,
I
wouldn't have.
Is that because you don't want to be seen publicly with Charlie? Or you?
I actually voted for the guy.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the next time around, to tell you the truth.
We're not talking about buyer's remorse here. We're talking about whether you go door to door with the mayor. So I just want to give you a chance to address that.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much. Okay, next three.
Oh, thank you. Claudia Martin has arrived. Is Andy Frazier?
Yep, he's here.
Come on up. Hi. And we'll go with Mara Gross now. She's here.
She's upstairs and on her way down. So we'll let these folks speak, and that'll give her enough time to get down without being breathless. Please.
They'll be followed by Cameron Witten, Eric Fruits, and Nishant Bajara.
Hi. I have 3 points to make.
Your name first, please.
Dr. Claudia Martin.
Yes.
One, whenever there is a big change, I think there really has to be public notification. I work with the neighborhood associations. I'm the representative of my neighborhood to NY Coalition. We had one meeting with you, Mr. Novick, I think in February or March, and at that time there was a consideration of putting something on the ballot, went away. That does not constitute outreach, and I think some of you know me from my fight against putting parking meters into Washington Park, which was a major outreach deficit, I felt. And I think this is another example. I think there needs to be more outreach. My second point, this truly is taxation without representation. I'm not saying we do need some solutions, but I believe it should go to a ballot. My third and maybe the biggest point is I live on Skyline Boulevard. Every day, very close to Burnside, I see a 2-hour early morning and a 2-hour late afternoon rush of cars from Washington County. Mm-hmm. I do not think Portlanders should bear the full brunt of a street tax when there is massive development and these people are all using our streets. I think we need to look at ways that maybe Metro can get involved because it is a Metro problem. Somehow the outlying counties and the people who actually work in Portland and do many things in Portland do not take any responsibility for the streets that they use. I think the Selwood Bridge was a perfect example. So I think we need to look at more global payment for our streets. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Martin, do you have a suggestion for us? because there's we learned from the Selwood Bridge thing there are some limitations. That was an example where Clackamas County defeated a vehicle registration fee, which would have helped pay. But I understand there are some cities where in order to actually use the streets, you have to have a sticker. So regardless of where you live, you have to pay a fee for the privilege of accessing the streets. That's one way of getting outside the boundaries. But do you have a thought? And if not, would you share one with us later?
You know, unfortunately, I don't know all the details, but I do think at some point Metro needs to have a little more power because they're supposed to govern the growth and the infrastructure of our whole area. And I do not see that happening. And I think that, I mean, when I can't even get out of my driveway and I see all these people coming from Washington County, and I'm not saying they shouldn't use the roads, but they are not. If we're talking about a street tax, it needs to get the people who use the roads. And my example, I mean, Selwood Bridge may have been a problem, but I think we really need to look into that. I think this maybe needs to be tabled, one, for a vote, and two, to include the surrounding areas. I'm sure on the east side there's similar kind of interfaces going on. So I don't mind paying taxes. I believe in taxes. I believe in community. But I don't want inequity so that a bunch of people don't.
If we did something on the regional level, you would want the folks in Clackamas and Washington County to vote too, right?
Yeah, and that may end up that nothing gets passed.
We attempted that with the Selwood Bridge, and they decided to let us pay for it, but you would recommend...
Well, I mean, then otherwise there have to be repercussions. Somebody jokingly said put a toll on Burnside, put a toll on Cornell. But, I mean, or the sticker idea or something electronic, you know, there are other options.
Okay.
I don't think Portland should be the only people paying for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Frazier, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. Andy Frazier, small business owner and resident. Living in Portland, I raised my family here, my kids. I am committed to, safer streets just as much as everyone else is. But I have not been super happy with where we're at this point. I think this process has been screwed up pretty much from the beginning. I'm willing to join council in supporting a package, but I don't think this is it. I do have several concerns. One of the biggest is the residential mechanism. I do not support creation of a personal income tax in any form in the city of Portland. I think that the small business community and business in general is willing to work with you, but it needs to be in good faith. When we were here last spring, I told you that I thought it was the wrong idea to pit business against residential in this discussion, and I think we're back to that by separating the two. I think that is a cynical approach that seems to be politically point-making rather than finding a solution for fixing our streets. As a small business owner, I believe I'm going to pay this tax twice. You argue that this is not a large amount of money, but there's also no safeguards in place that which to me signals that this will increase. Whether it's tomorrow or the next day, I don't know, but it probably will. In my opinion, I think you've excluded two of your more experienced counselors and chosen the route of horse trading amongst yourselves to scrape together three votes. And I don't think that is the way good policies can be made for something of this size. And lastly, it offends me that under the current plan that my retirement income will be taxed and yours will not. I don't think that's fair. You ask about the it in this. I think there's a lot of other avenues we can explore that don't include a personal income tax.
So could you tell us a little bit more about those? Actually, let me go back a little bit, and that is, I think you're a member of the Portland Business Alliance. The PBA worked with us very extensively on the business proposal that's in front of us now, and they, along with Venture Portland, were very much involved in developing this alternative.
Right.
So the business community helped us put together this new version of the business side of the tax. But tell us more about what you would be supportive of in a package.
Well,
as opposed to what's in this one.
Okay. Just to step back on that point, the PBA and everybody working with you on this, that also include a sunset date that's no longer there. I think it also did not, at that point, include a personal income tax on the residential side. Mm-hmm. I think that the money that was being dedicated to paving was quite a bit more. My point is, this was, and they weren't two separate packages. Things have changed since then. Mm-hmm. And so we're coming at this as a package.
Right. Well, there's no residential version of what we have on the business side, because the business side, again, it's a package they put together. It consists of a hybrid of how many employees you have, what your business income tax is, and how many square feet you have. That can't obviously apply to
a
homeowner.
But it should be a package together, one vote, residential.
But what would you recommend that we do on the residential side if we don't do the income tax that we now have before us?
Okay, I will answer that. I do have a question, though, whether – are you then saying you are open to not having a personal income tax?
I'll say the same thing I've said all along. I'm open to anything that will work.
Novick? Yes or no?
We listen to all ideas.
There's been a lot of ideas that are going around, but my understanding is that you are pretty secure on having an
income. Why don't you put something before us and tell us what you'd like us to do?
Why waste my time if you're not going to do it?
Yes, I'm open to anything.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Fritz. I'm with other people here who I think exploring a Portland gas tax, state gas tax. I think you can look at raising money through dynamic parking meter pricing, license registration, more parking meters, raise smart park fees, shift SDCs from parks, reform public retirement systems, fix tax compression, stop and renewal, put ODOT out to bid. You can do things that are outside your city limits if you work with the other jurisdictions. I don't think that you have to just put yourself in a box and say, I'm only going to force through what I can within these limits. Work outside. It's a hard solution. I agree.
And there's a two-week interval between now and the next time we come together.
Correct.
So we'll have a chance to continue this conversation. But I want to ask you about the business side. And you said that they should be combined.
Yes.
Fair enough. What's interesting is I, as an example, have not received a lot of emails, phone calls, meetings from people concerned about the business side of this. It's mostly focused on the residential.
Yep.
So
we are residents as well.
Yeah,
yep.
I understand. But on the business side, do you believe that this package has it about right, or are there additional suggestions you would have for fine-tuning on the business side?
I think the bones of it are pretty close. I think they can be it'll be stomached by most. The answer about whether you support it, or most are going to support it, at least those I talk to, the answer is no, without the sunset clause and a couple of the criteria that were removed. Okay. You put them back in, then we're halfway.
Okay.
But with the residential the way it is, no go.
So I followed you on all that, but just, again, on the business side, so it's pretty close.
I think the bones are there.
That package?
Yeah, okay. I think the bones are there.
Thank you.
Okay, good. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Actually, Andrew, just to follow up on the mayor's initial question, would you put on your raincoat and go and knock on doors for a gas tax increase?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Would you not have a personal income tax?
You two can work this out outside.
I thought we were here. I thought you said bring it now.
We did. You did. Thank you.
Steve is still so delighted you referred to him as Novick and not Novak. He's like he's in a state of shock.
Thank you very much, Andy. Ms. Gross, come on up.
And also we'll go with Cameron Witten and Eric Fruits.
May have left.
And they'll be followed by Nishant Bahara, Scott Limolin, and Marty McCall.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, members of council. My name is Mara
Gross.
Can I
get to grade you on this?
And my name is Mara Gross. I'm the executive director at the Coalition for a Livable Future. We are a Portland Metro Regional Coalition of organizations working for health, safe, equitable communities. We worked with a number of organizations coming out of the Springs earlier proposal, really some transportation organizations who really were focusing on the need for transportation resources in our communities, and others who were saying, but this has a really significant impact on the lowest income members of our community, and really came together to say, is there something that we can recommend and support so say that we can address both of those at the same time? And I'm very pleased to see the changes from the proposal this spring and be able to say that we do support this current proposal. Several of our members' organizations served on the Needs and Funding Advisory Committee, served on the nonprofit work group, and really appreciate the city's working group efforts to really come to a proposal that's really nuanced, that's really thoughtful, that brought together feedback from a lot of people. The current proposal provides, as I mentioned, much-needed transportation revenues to maintain and complete the streets in the city, and it maintains significant safety funds, which will save lives and also lead to more people being able to walk, bike, and take transit. That's good for people's health. It's good for the climate, it's good for air quality, and it's good for wear and tear on our roads. It's not as much money as we recommended, but we understand the compromise is necessary, and we do support the current proposal. It also provides significant resources in neighborhoods that have historically been had the greatest needs and often been neglected. I think that's really important as well. In terms of the residential revenue structure, we're very excited to see a funding mechanism that exempts families who cannot afford additional expenses, as has been discussed by others, and really acknowledges the value of progressive funding. It's something that we don't have models for this. As Mayor Hales mentioned, that we do all the other fundings for transportation is regressive, and it's really is a burden on families, and it's how we do our income taxes, very important. If this gets referred to the ballot particularly, we would encourage an even more progressive funding structure. The current proposal came through a compromise, which unfortunately may not lead to full support for this. So thank you to the city for your leadership and for the lot of listening and work that you did to get to this point.
Thanks very much. Thank you for your help.
Mark, can I ask you a quick question?
Uh-huh.
So we've had some people testify that a better solution would be a regional solution, recognizing that people from Washington County and Clackamas County use our roads and vice versa. And so finding a funding mechanism through a metro model that benefited the whole region. If you were given superpowers for one day, and given that we look at transportation regionally, we look at housing issues
vote
regionally,
for that.
if we gave you special powers for one day, any thoughts on how we could actually fix this problem regionally rather than just Portland?
Wow. Well, I certainly would think that a regional mechanism would be something that is an important feature. There is a funding mechanism in Washington County right now that helps support the roads. There is not in most other areas of the region. And so would I support that? Certainly. Would it be the kind of structure we have here? Would it be an income tax? Quite possibly. I haven't really looked into the specifics to figure out what might be able, what regionally is supported. I know that people support safer streets around this region. I don't think that should be a barrier to the city moving forward, because we don't have anything on the table right now. We don't have anything, and I don't want to wait years or decades in order to address the maintenance problems we have and save lives and do the other positive things this would have.
Good answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Whitten.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales. Good afternoon, City Commissioners. My name is Cameron Whitten, and I'm one of the newer members to the Budget Advisory Commission for Portland Bureau of Transportation. I've only been there for a few months, but in that term, I've realized that we all come to the table with different perspectives. We all bring different things to the table, and we might not agree on everything, but what I believe after this time is that we share a strong agreement that there needs to be more resources that help Portlanders travel and connect to this community in a safe and efficient manner. This is the reason why I testify in support of the Portland Street Fund ordinance. In addition to my support, I also want to say that the principles of equity and inclusion are important to me, as important they are to the rest of the community in Portland. These conversations are going on right now within city bureaus and within PBOT, and it's about guaranteeing that all Portlanders have access to services and the decision-making process. As PBOT tackles these priorities, I want to emphasize a strong need for there to be analytical and assessment tools, like an equity index, that helps transportation staff think critically about how services and projects move forward in a more equitable manner. I look forward to working with Mayor Hales, Commissioner Novick on this issue, and I want to thank you for your time and your effort on this very difficult but vital mission of funding our streets. And I also want to say very quickly that I had Eric Fruits as a teacher. I'm still an economics student at Portland State, and I hope I still get an A after this testimony.
I'm checking to see if it's too late to change its grade. So far, you're down to a C.
Thank you.
Extra credit now.
Thank you. Thanks, Cameron, for your service on the committee.
He actually was one of my favorite students.
Thank you.
He was great. Well, my name's Eric Fruits. I'm a local business owner. I'm also a homeowner, and because my little house is going to pay the street fee twice, I'm not going to ask for extra time, although I should get twice as much time because I'm paying the tax twice. I'm also the board member of two nonprofits. those would also be faced with the street fee. And one of those nonprofits is our local neighborhood association. I think that's something that has not been recognized, is that, yes, neighborhood associations will have to pay the street fee. I also set the nostreetfee.com website, which has followed this whole process since early mid-May. The original proposal was flawed, I'll admit that, but it had the benefit of being based on the overarching principle that everyone pays, everyone benefits. That is something that was said over and over by PBOT staff and even some of you up there. But the latest proposal under consideration today, more than one-third of residents will completely avoid paying the income tax at all. At the same time, the richest of the rich will have a tax rate that is lower than a couple earning $40,000 a year. With breaks at the top, breaks at the bottom, it's the middle class that gets squeezed the hardest. I know it's outrageous. It sounds outrageous. I'm sure you don't believe me, which is why I've given you this handout. One side was something I prepared the other day for the website. The other side is straight from today's Oregonian. You see that circle? It says regressive zone. There is a place where this tax is regressive, and it's at the upper end of income. Upper income people do pay less than lower income people in some cases. So let's face it, an income tax for roads is really just a bad, bad, bad idea. It does nothing to encourage active transportation. It does nothing to reduce trips. It does nothing to reduce carbon emissions. It's nothing more than a money grab and an unfair money grab at that. But things get worse with the business tax. It, too, is unfair. It has absolutely nothing to do with trip generation. PBOT's own figures show that the Port of Portland, which has a seven-story parking garage, an airport, a ship port that has thousands and thousands of tons coming out and with road-wrecking trucks, that Port of Portland, all their operations across the airport and the seaport will pay the same amount as Portland's Salvation Army. Those guys who stand outside in the cold, wearing a coat, maybe a raincoat, ringing a bell, raising money for the poor, are paying the same amount as the Port of Portland with a seven-story parking garage and hundreds of flights a day. I know, it's not just unfair, it's crazy. It's so crazy, in fact, that you must vote no. You just toss out the entire plan and begin again with a fair and workable plan. And again, thank you for your consideration.
Mr. Fritz, I've heard you say that this proposal is much worse than what we had in May, which was much more regressive than this proposal. So how can you say that it makes something worse to make it more progressive, but then attack us for not being progressive enough?
Because what happened was, with that original proposal, at least it made some sort of effort to tie it to trip generation and road usage. The closer you get to actual usage of roads, the more fair the fee is. That's why we have user fees. That's why they're called fees, because they're not taxes, and that's why they're called user fees, because it's based on use. The closer you get to a user fee, kind of like a gas tax or a mileage tax, the fairer it is, because then you can actually use those tools to adjust people's behavior. You can encourage active transportation. You can reduce carbon emissions. You can do those sorts of things. This income tax does nothing. If I had a user fee, I could adjust the amount I pay in that user fee by driving less. If I can't afford to drive less, I might start walking or biking or doing things that might be better for my heart. I know you guys don't want me to have a good heart, because I'm sure you'd like to see me assume room temperature as soon as possible. But the closer you get to a user fee, the more fair it is, regardless. And I think it has absolutely nothing to do with progressive. It has everything to do with equity.
So I'm not sure if I would have passed your class, because I'm not sure if I followed you. But would you recommend...
That's all right. I'm colorblind.
Would you recommend that we go back to the trip-based method, or to some other user fee? And if it's some other, what user fee would you recommend?
The trip generation model is flawed. It had some serious flaws. I think that the trip generation manual is designed best for single locations and not for a network of roads. It's not a network manual. It is a single location manual.
Right.
Nevertheless, and I've talked to Donna Gardner about this because we're on the same neighborhood association, it's a good starting point. It's something that's used. I think you could tweak it and make it better, make it more fair, Portlandize it to reflect the facts that we have more active transportation. A gas tax, if I were doing this, I know I'm going to drive my tax hater and friends crazy, but I'd like a congestion charge or some sort of mile tax. Technically speaking, that's probably going to be very difficult to do in the near future. If you want to think about what is a workable solution in terms of the technology, low cost of collection, this income tax and business income tax, you're throwing away 30% of the money on admin. That's ridiculous. That's redonkulous, as my kids would say. If you have the gas tax, you have a very easy method of collecting. You have the process already in place. I don't know about the regional model. One advantage to having a citywide gas tax, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is that you can ensure that that money is yours. One of the problems you have with a county gas tax is that you do have to share that money with other municipalities, and that allocation may not necessarily be based on
Dr. Fruits,
usage.
Someone might say that a gas tax is regressive. So what would be your suggestion for how to mitigate the regressive impact of a gas tax?
Well, that's a challenge. Food prices are regressive.
I understand.
Right. I mean, that's...
What's where it's charged at the pump. What, is there a way to make a gas tax more progressive in either at the front end or the back end?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure there's some way of doing it. You know, one way is you can maybe have some sort of credit for low-income people to buy more energy-efficient cars. You can also encourage more active transportation and transit usage where you aren't paying that gas tax.
Perhaps you could issue a debit card that has some way of giving someone a discount for those transactions.
Well, make sure everyone has their Fred Meyer card, right, so they can get the 10 cents off at Shell. I'm joking, but I'm not. I mean, I think that is something that conceivably you could do. And maybe you can fund that refund program or that credit program, part of that, out of the tax itself. I haven't thought about this, but I think it's a great idea. But
because you're a creative thinker on these subjects, would you be willing to give some thought to that and give us your ideas after this hearing?
I'd love to. I've never had a call. I'm the easiest person to Google, and no one has called me about this on city council.
Consider yourself called.
In a public setting.
Well, thank you. I'll accept.
Trying to build you up in front of a student.
I know. Well, I think he might get his A back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, next three, please.
Hi, next three are Nishant Baharia, Scott Linallen, Marty McCall, and they will be followed by Annalise Kohler, Jeff Merrick, and Paul Cohn.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Can I start now?
Yes, please.
Okay. I came to this country 14...
Just put your name in the record.
Nishant Baharia, the J is pronounced, but you can call me anything. I came to this country 14 years ago. I became a citizen last year, so I take this very, very seriously, and we haven't agreed on much. I come to this concept of government with skepticism. I haven't seen efficient government throughout my life. But for what it's worth, here's my concerns with this whole proposal. Mayor, you said in 2012 that you could pave our streets without a tax, and I know you said on OPP yesterday that you were not aware of how bad the streets were because Sam Adams didn't hold press conferences. Mr. Mayor, that makes you a little naive. You claim experience, you claim leadership, but then you cannot then come and say that you were not aware. You should have known better before making such an unqualified promise right before an election. Remember, read my lips, no new taxes from 1990. That's what this sounds like. You also said earlier that you got an email from a citizen saying that by putting this to a vote, you would be outsourcing. I wonder how many emails you got asking you to put this on the vote. I would love to see how those numbers stack up so we have a fairer representation. Here are the things that come to the it, which is what Commissioner Fritz has been talking about. Look at this proposal. 15% of the revenue goes to collection costs. PBOT headcount goes up by 8%. $150,000 contract for the vision document. That sounds less like a safety and transportation plan and more like government growth. And that's why people have skepticism of big government in this country. Fairness. I was not represented in the working groups. I'm a middle-class homeowner. There was no representation for me, and my bill has gone up regardless of which proposal goes up compared to what it was in May. No town hall on the split. The proposal was split into two. Initially, it was one proposal. I believe the proposal was split purely to make it hard to get this on the ballot. There was no town hall on that. That does not seem very fair to me. Finally, when it comes to security, the city of Portland is not fully PCI compliant. I have worked in that area. The customers of Target and Home Depot know what it's like to lose your information. I'm concerned as to what will happen to my 1040 forms if this thing goes through. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Scott Llewellyn. I am with a political action committee, which I didn't put on the sign-up sheet. I'm not sure if I had to do that or not, called Bike, Walk, Vote. And our mission is to support candidates in public policy which furthers active transportation in the region and, truthfully, statewide. When this proposal was first shopped, we had a lot of trouble with it because of the question about whether it was progressive enough. We note that you've changed a lot of that, and we're prepared to support it to this point. We understand that there's no perfect model for being able to raise the revenue, but we understand also that the transportation needs in the city of Portland are becoming critical. We are particularly excited about the idea that East Portland would get some long-needed attention, particularly for children going to school and for older people who are just trying to get some exercise. And I know what it's like to be out walking along a street where there's no clear definition between the street and the gravel ditch. So if the project list improves the conditions for people walking, riding bicycles, and using transit throughout the city, but especially in East Portland, we're very, very supportive of that. We understand that the questions of the cap are important. We would urge you to raise the cap. We think it's a good idea that it's progressive. It's significantly better than the first proposal, but we think it would be improved if the cap were raised and it would be more equitable. So in general, we support the proposal as it is, but we would urge those changes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Marty McCall. I'm not representing anyone but myself, and I've taken time off of work to do so. I live on a street that was annexed to the city in the late 1940s, and so it is considered, it's an unimproved street. It's never been paved or in any way maintained since then. So the street residents pool our money to do, we pave parts of the street, we do sandbagging every winter to prevent flooding, and we also, through our gas taxes and vehicle fees, support all of the maintenance of the rest of the streets in the city, but don't get those services ourselves. There are a number of streets that are in this classification. They don't get any of these services. They're certainly unsafe. They're unsanitary. They're certainly not accessible. And so for this proposal to be levied on people who do not get the services and are not, none of the services that I can see in here are intended to improve that class of streets. That is what I would advocate, is if you could put that into the proposal and make, amend it so that it includes upgrading of those streets to at least a minimal condition, I could support it. I like the progressive aspects of it. There are a lot of things I like about it. But until it includes that, I can't support it.
Good point. Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, I want to make an exception to the list here because we've had a lot of discussion about gasoline taxes, and I think we have a representative of the gasoline dealers here, and I understand he has to leave at 5, so I'm going to call Mr. Romain to come up and speak next, and then we'll go back to the list. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm Paul Romain. I'm with the law firm of the Romain Group, and we represent the Oregon Fuels Association, among others. We were fortunate enough, actually, to be put on the initial committee to look at the business portion of this tax. We were told originally that we would go in, let's look at everything in the city. We walk into the meeting, and the first thing that happens is my good friend Fred announces that we can only look at the PBOT budget. We can't look at anything else in the city. And our whole point was, before you ask anybody for new money, you need to look at the entire city budget and determine whether or not you have funds somewhere that maybe that particular thing is not as important as doing street maintenance or street cleanup or safety, all of that. That was the first thing. When that was announced, I walked out of the meeting after that. I figured the rest of it was pointless, because all it would be doing is trying to justify some new money when you never looked at the existing money. And we will continue to consider that until you actually look at what you have in the city budget now. Right now, you just spent an additional $10 million. I don't think a lot of it went to road paving. And that, we think those are policy choices that need to be made. That's number one. Number two is, this progressive income tax is a joke. That's the reason it's a joke is, if I own a company and the company happens to be in Portland and I make $500,000 a year, but I live in Washington County, how much personal income tax do I pay? Zero. but I earned $500,000 in the city of Portland. If I live in the city of Portland, just over the border from Washington County, and I work at Intel, and I make $500,000, how much do I pay? Maximum amount of income tax, even though I don't earn the money in the city. It's totally backwards. And I believe you did it for collection reasons, because you don't have to do the income tax filing, but it's crazy. So, and the business tax, that portion of it, you've basically lowered that down so much in an attempt to buy off the business community to make it very reasonable so that no money will be available to refer anything. And the problem with that is it doesn't work. The reason it doesn't work is we think you have the power to raise that stuff at any time. And until we have that basic discussion about how you're spending your money, we're not going to want to give you anything more. That's why we oppose this thing. Our clients want better streets. We want to put money into the system. We have no problem with that. We're proposing a statewide statewide gas tax. We're part of the transportation package that's going on right now. We don't have a problem with that. What we do have a problem is we need more money. Let's set up these two new taxing mechanisms that can be raised at any time. And the attempts to split the business community off from the personal income tax residential community are somewhat sickening. There have been emails. In fact, if somebody ever requested Freedom of Information email exchanges between a few of you up here and some of us, it would be amazing to see what is said and the threats that are made about how more progressive something can be, and how somebody probably is a socialist because he wants things to be more progressive if he doesn't let this thing pass. We are very much opposed to the way the system has been run right now, and we will work with a lot of others to put this on the ballot. We hope, first of all, we hope you go back and look at this again, and let's work together first before you do anything. But if something like what you have right now is passed, it needs to go to the voters.
Well, I appreciate you being here today. I mean, first of all, speaking of email exchanges that could be requested, you and I, of course, have had a text message exchange today, and thank you very much. I assume we've set up the meeting that I requested to be able to brief your members on the state of the city budget so that they have that information. Has that been scheduled?
Mr. Mayor, no, it hasn't been scheduled, because for two reasons. One is nobody from your staff has requested that. That's number one, and I just happened to be sitting next to your chief of staff over there, but nothing was mentioned. But I'd be happy to do that. But number two is that was what was supposed to happen a long time ago. And it's not just you explaining what this budget is like. The reason that business group was important, I felt it was important, is we were going to be able to look at the whole budget and make suggestions to you. I'm not a budget analyst. I don't read budgets on a daily basis.
But you just said that you need to see that the current budget is spent properly before you can support new revenue.
I do.
So while you're here, I'm going to ask Mr. Alpert to get that scheduled.
I would love to be able to see all that, but I'd like to have some people in that room who also understand budgets who could go over the stuff with you. That was something that should have been done a long time ago when you first put this thing together. It was Mr. Miller, probably at your request, who said, we're not looking at anything else.
All right, well, we'll make sure we have that discussion, and please get that scheduled. Now, secondly, if in that discussion you found that it were indeed true that the auditor was correct and the city of Portland needs to spend about $75 million more per year than we are now spending on street maintenance, if the analysis proved to you that that were true, and if it proved true that the general fund is unavailable to solve that problem, would you support a gas tax increase sufficient to pave the streets?
We support a statewide gas tax. We do not like local gas taxes. We will oppose any local gas tax.
Okay, and so
If you let me finish,
sure.
The reason we don't like a local gas tax is it puts an undue burden on individuals. Basically, it's a competitive disadvantage. We don't mind up to a certain point, a statewide gas tax.
Sure, and if the state gas tax needed to go up by enough to solve that problem for us and other local governments across the state, you would support that?
Well, the problem with it is that you have created, you being your city council over the years, have created the problem in the first place. You took money that was dedicated to street maintenance, you put into other things. You justified it. I voted against Measure 5. I've never supported anything like that. People passed it. Frankly, Portland passed it. And we're stuck with it. And you probably did what you thought was right, or you, your predecessors, did
yeah, we
at
weren't
that
here
time.
Then,
yeah, you. I don't even know if you were out of diapers.
Might have been in high school, yeah. Keep going. This is making me feel good.
Right, right. But the problem is it's these decisions that have been made over the time. All this money has been dedicated to roads, and then it disappears. And then it's dedicated to roads, and then it disappears. And now you want to have two new revenue sources that are dedicated to roads. At what time is that going to disappear? I can't commit to you that I'd support anything. I want to sit down and talk with people and have a general discussion about how the money is spent, why you spend $10 million of surplus the way you do, why you, given the projections of a considerable surplus over the next coming year and years, why you think you need more, and if you truly do need more, why is it the amount you're talking about? Can we do it with a $10 million or $20 million? And then we can craft something that's a little more reasonable for the
great
taxpayer.
Well, we look forward to having that discussion.
Actually, thank you.
Mr. Romaine, I realize you haven't combed through the budget, but the primary things we spend discretionary general fund money on are police, fire, and parks, and then some for housing. Just off the top of your head, can you give us some indication of which of those you think you would want to cut?
You know, that's like... you know, when did you stop beating your wife?
Those are the choices.
That is an absolute BS question. And the problem is there's much more than that in your budget. And you need to look at the whole thing. We need to look at the whole thing.
What is the much more you'd want us to cut?
I don't know. I'm not the expert on it. If you convince me and everybody back here that you've spent all that money wisely, then fine. You'll have a whole bunch of supporters. But if you don't, you're going to have a whole bunch of people that are not going to be with you. And listen, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you. I think you guys have a terrible job. Why you run for it is so beyond me. I have no clue. But and you're up there trying to make important decisions. But when you make these decisions, I think you need to lay the groundwork a lot better than you've been laying it. And you don't need to make this into in effect a personal fight over and trying to pit, in effect, the wealth of the community versus others in the community.
Well, we look forward to meeting with you and your members to go over those numbers, because my job is to craft that budget just as we just did on the $10 million of additional revenue, and actually quite a bit of it went to the streets. But we'll go over all those numbers with you. We'll bring our budget director. You bring your members, and we'll put the spreadsheets on the table and give you as much information as you'd like.
We'll be happy to try and craft something.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, a point of personal privilege. Paul? Yes, I did email somebody who I know knows you saying, so what's the deal? Is Romaine a socialist? Because he must know that politically, if this gets shot down, the easiest thing for the council to do is go with something that's more progressive, because our polling shows that something even more progressive would be more supportive. We're trying to avoid that kind of fight by having something that is mildly progressive. But that was not a threat. I was just curious about your strategy.
If I might respond to his
please
personal privilege. And we go back and forth all the time.
I know that. That's why I'm allowing it.
The problem with that is we would, at least I would, welcome, if you want to come out and come out with a progressive, more progressive income tax that is basically trying to pit everybody against each other and is set up so that people that work in Portland, but don't live in Portland, get off scot-free. Take, for example, a law firm situation where you have 20 partners, 10 of whom lived in the city. They all make $500,000. 10 live in the city, 10 don't. 10 pay the tax, 10 don't. They earn the income here. You set it up like that, bring it on. I'd love to do that one.
Thank you.
I have just one question. You talked about local gas taxes creating a competitive disadvantage. And I get that as an abstract economic policy matter. But is it, in fact, the case that that if you raise the gas tax 5 cents to someone living in Grant Park, they're going to spend an extra 45 minutes to commute to someplace in Washington County, buy their gas, and come back? I understand it costs them more, but how does it create a competitive disadvantage? And what's the evidence that people then stop buying their gas at their neighborhood gas station?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner, they don't stop buying there. What happens is that particular station owner has now to absorb 5 cents more in cost to put that price out there because gas is very competitive. So what happens is that station owner may not be making as much at that station as his or her competition. That's the competitive disadvantage. The pressure to have a street price that's about the same as your competition in the neighborhood is tremendous. So it's not that's the deceptive thing about it. Most people see pretty much similar prices, but if the cost of doing business at that location is greater than their competition, it puts a lot of pressure on that particular station owner, and they may or may not stay in business. That's our problem with it.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Look forward to meeting.
Thanks for letting me come up.
You bet.
I don't want to tell you who I'm meeting with. So.
Thank you. All right. Next three, please.
Are Annalise Kohler, Jeff Merrick, and Paul Cohn.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
What about Ann Sanderson? Oh, he's here. Okay, well, they'll be followed by Ann Sanderson, Terry Deblunsky-Milton, and Dave Peters.
All right.
Okay.
Please.
Hi. Hello, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. My name is Annalisa Kohler, and I work for Oregon Food Bank as a public policy advocate. Thank you for this opportunity to offer testimony here today. Oregon Food Bank does not have a position on this current proposal. However, I participated in the Low Income and Nonprofit Advisory Committee because we believe strongly that any proposal should be based on the ability to pay. Oregon Food Bank had deep concern about the impact the original proposed fee would have had on Portland's low-income families and neighbors, as well as smaller nonprofits, and we are pleased to see a current proposal that has done much to remedy this concern. But before diving into some of those specifics, I want to let you know that Oregon Food Bank also believes that street maintenance and safety are important to address. We understand our streets are in need of repair and that many neighborhoods lack adequate sidewalks and other street safety mechanisms. Oregon Food Bank's core business of distributing and transporting emergency food relies on an infrastructure of well-maintained streets. In addition, our clients and partners in the community rely on safe and maintained streets and a transportation system. We are pleased to see the city's leadership in addressing those concerns. As for the proposal itself, we are pleased to see a proposal that does much to lessen the financial impact the fee would have on the people we serve and their limited ability to pay. Food bank recipients are already making tough choices between paying for rent, utilities, medicine, and food. We are heartened to see a proposal that's progressive and takes this into account. $5 or $10 a month doesn't sound like a lot, but it can be the difference between being able to afford a prescription copay or dinners that week. Additionally, we are also pleased to see a proposal that lessens the financial impact on small nonprofits and faith-based organizations. We have over 100 food pantries and emergency meal sites here in Portland, and many of them are almost entirely volunteer-run, and they have shoestring budgets. We are really excited to see a fee that would not unduly burden these partners and similar nonprofits and businesses. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for your help on the committee as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Merrick, and I thank you all for your service to the city. You got to get on the safety projects now. I'm with the last gentleman where I think if safety is a priority, you need to rejuggle your budgets, and you need to take money from one pot to another. You know, I'm not a budget expert, but I know the city of, the Portland Public Schools have wasted all kinds of money. They don't need money. They don't need your money. Put it to the safety projects and save lives. Because I think what you're putting out today, to me, sounds like a false choice between an income tax or people are going to die. That's the way it's putting out here, and I think it's a false choice. I'm against the income tax. I'm against your ordinance because it hurts me. I think it hurts Portland. I think it unfairly expands the divide between government workers and the rest of us. And I think it also violates the law. I think it violates your city charter, 9402, 9403. I think it violates the laws on public bidding. You got improvements, you got to put them out to bid. Why does it hurt me? I need my money. I don't have a government pension. I don't have a private pension. I'm looking at 6 years at a Social Security of $1,126 a month. I need to save my money.
Social Security is exempt as well.
Well, that's good, but still, $1,126 a month, whether it's being paid toward you or anything else, that doesn't even cover my property tax and health insurance. You know, you're making an exception for people with children. What about all the families in Portland who are contributing to their parents, and elderly and infirm parents? It's not a choice between another latte or paying to keep people alive. There are other choices that we need to make. You've asked for alternatives. Nobody's talked about what the real problem in Oregon is, which is we're missing one leg of the funding stool. We don't have a sales tax. If we had a sales tax, you would get some regional money into this place for the people who would do it. And it is progressive because people who spend $200 on a pair of jeans are going to pay more than people who buy their jeans from Goodwill. And I think what it comes down to a lot of us is we don't trust how you're going to spend the money. We've been around. We've seen what goes on. And it's not just history of the tram. It's the BES building. And so what's going to be the problem here? And I think the you could save money on the other end. You're talking the latest proposal is 59 more government employees with lifetime pensions. What about the lowest responsible bidder for some of these improvements that are discrete, all these different discrete little projects? Those are my thoughts. You know, you've said, you've been quoted as saying, Commissioner Novak, that I don't think people are going to be up in arms. And I hope you're right. I don't think we want gun violence. But what is happening is businesses locate elsewhere. Look at the Cruiseway corridor. People declare themselves to be citizens of Camas, Washington. And so maybe we won't be up in arms, but I just don't think it's fair.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Paul Cohn, and I'm an officer for COPIA, which is the chapter here in Portland for the Professional and Technical Employees, Local 17. So I'm here representing almost 800 city employees who are represented, including over 100 Piedmont employees. So I want to speak in favor of the proposed Our Streets plan. As city engineers, planners, and technicians, we have seen firsthand the increased costs that deferred maintenance transportation assets creates. Project price tags balloon as streets fall into greater degrees of disrepair, and then more drastic repairs are needed. Meanwhile, we see the need for increased investment in safe routes to school and work, particularly in some of the city's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The case for increased funding has been made clearly, we think. Portlanders have an obligation to protect and maintain our transportation assets, and it's clear that there are structural inadequacies in PBOT's current funding mechanisms. The question that we are left with is how to raise these funds. We believe that PBOT has done an admirable job of crafting a proposal that is as fair and equitable as possible, while still providing the city with the resources needed to maintain a safe and reliable transportation system. It's been over a decade that we've been working, as you pointed out, Mayor, earlier, that Portland has engaged with the public and a wide range of stakeholders in order to find a reliable, stable funding source for transportation, and we believe that the time has come for Council to set the city on a road towards making it for years of deferred maintenance and unmet safety needs. We recognize the shared sacrifice that this effort will require of all Portlanders, and we urge the Council to show strong leadership on this matter. The city's workforce stands ready to embark on enhancing the safety of our transportation system and preserving our infrastructure for coming generations in Portlanders, and we ask that the Council act to renew Portland's commitment to a safe and reliable transportation system. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay. Next, please.
Are Ann Sanderson, Terry Deblinski Milton, and Dave Peters?
No, but
they will be followed by Jason Kurian, Chris Kopka, and Lisa Rummel.
Okay, Ms. Sanderson, you're on first.
My name is Ann Sanderson, and I'm a small business owner.
I also sat on the non-residential working group this summer, and I also run the Stop Portland Street View page on Facebook. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Mayor Hales and Commissioner Novick, 6 months ago, I walked into an elementary school in my neighborhood and learned about the street fee that you designed and promoted that would have devastated businesses and harmed our low-income residents. The numbers were based on a manual that was intended to be used for planning, not taxing, and would have created a system that had my little hair salon paying the same as a Great Clips franchise or Otto's Sausage in Woodstock, the same as McDonald's on Powell. You wanted to turn landlords into tax collectors and use the Water Bureau system to deliver the bills, and there was no good way to give discounts to our poorest neighbors. But you loved it. You held town hall meetings promoting it, and you didn't think then that we should vote on it. But now, even you agreed that that wasn't a good plan. If we, the people, had not pushed back, small businesses would be planning their going out of business sales right now, and some low-income residents would be choosing between paying their street fee or buying their groceries. But we did push back, and we did participate. And it's a little intellectually dishonest and disingenuous to claim that the public